You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Hey, fuck you, Optus, and welcome to the Loaded Questions podcast, hosted by Last Word on Sports. I'm joined by the usual backroom setup with our new recording studio of Bari and Troy.
I love you, Optus.
I'd like to second Adam's fuck you.
That's relating to the Australian Premier League TV deal, which deprives us of basic Premier League coverage and pretty much makes us like every other country that you have to have special services, where Australia used to be unique and you got everything live. Now you've got to pay a subscription, like beIN Sports. It's bullshit. Anyway, we're moving on to the football podcast. We've got lots to talk about today. It's going to be quite a big one, I think. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Leicester, I want to call it miracle, the Leicester story, a fairy tale. And then we'll talk about the Champions League and then everything else to do with the Premier League as we run into the last 2 weeks of the league season. So we'll kick it off with the Champions League. Despite losing, you would say that Atletico put on a masterclass across the two legs, performing really well and putting away Bayern and knocking them out of the semi-finals for Pep for the third year in a row, not by Atletico, of course, but they've been knocked out in the semi-finals 3 years in a row, and that in itself is a talking point that we will get to at the end of this. But what did you make of Atletico making the final, guys?
That's hugely impressive. Knocking off Barcelona, Bayern, back-to-back legs. Like, people always say you need a bit of luck to get the final, but sometimes you got to beat the big guns. And, like, these are the sort of games that you're in the Champions League to play. Like, we discussed this in depth, when the draws came out initially, like, of the first round and the group stage, the knockouts. But you want the big games. You don't want to play all the little teams. You go for the big games. And they got the big games and they won them.
Deep down, you want the little teams.
Oh, yeah, you want to smash. You want to smash the
ones. You want to sneakily progress as long as you can.
Yeah, but that is true. Especially in the first round, you want that.
You don't want the group.
You want that qualifier that somehow, like, a man.
You don't want the Manchester City group of death.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
What's your best Champions League memory, cunt? What? Aside from the final, aside from your winning finals.
Oh, you mean winning Champions League? Yeah, that's the memory for me.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I remember.
Sliding on your house floor.
You guys hugging.
In your lounge room floor.
That hurts so much.
That was amazing.
John Terry.
When John Terry missed the penalty against United, I actually dived on hard wooden floors and just did not slide at all.
Broke ribs, probably.
And landed on the zipper and felt like I broke my sternum. But back to it. They held on against Bayern. Bayern gave them everything they had in the last half hour. Griezmann scored a great team goal, which he's now got seven in the Champions League this season. And his stock is just rising higher and higher.
He's primed for a move to Chelsea. Isn't he just primed?
Disregard. And an interesting discussion came of it on ESPN FC, programs that none of us are really a fan of, with their amateur pundits. But a discussion between Craig Burley and Gabriel Mercotti came when Craig Burley took umbrage at the fact that Mercotti used expected goals, sort of laughing at the fact, and I thought that was a little rich. I don't know if you guys saw it.
No, I haven't.
He laughed at it, did he?
Yeah. I haven't wasted my time.
It's on my Twitter.
Yeah. I have to check it out.
It's pretty much he was saying all that stuff is nonsense, like, I expect presents from Santa too, blah, blah, blah. He's just a knob.
Just doesn't move with the times.
He's just one of your Scottish knobs. No. I'm joking. But
we love the Scots. Yeah, I thought that was
really embarrassing. It's sort of the downside of football is that we have all these ex-footballers doing punditry. And they don't actually know anything about the deeper side of the game. They're just players. They're jocks.
Yeah, you're right. Completely correct.
And there's good ones like Rio Ferdinand's quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think Martin Keown was good until he said Andros Townsend this week had the best left foot in Europe.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's real gross.
Yeah, that's a blot. But by and large,
hell of
Keown
a player.
Is usually,
yeah.
By and large, Keown is
reasonable. The best analysts tend to be the writers and whatnot who actually haven't played necessarily.
They don't, And they don't get TV time because they just give it to
because the they're not because they're nerds because they're yeah. nerds. It's yeah. like the jock versus nerd thing. Yeah. But another part of their argument between Burley and Marcotti was that Bayern have underachieved, and that's what actually sparked the argument, because Marcotti was saying they didn't underachieve in Pep's 3 years, whereas Burley said they had. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it. Did Pep? Okay, you have to consider it that he won 3 straight league titles. They dominated Germany. He's won the DFB Pokal Cup, he won a European Super Cup. He took over a side that might have peaked.
Winning the treble.
So he did, players, yeah. he did rebuild that squad somewhat.
Robin and Ribery had already sort of hit there.
Yeah, like yeah. Robin arguably was at his peak at the time, and Ribery was definitely on the way down.
Yeah.
So is there underachievement at all by them not making a final?
Look, it's disappointing not to make a final. I think that's probably something when they got Pep in was they thought, well,
we're going to keep on those finals
with Barcelona. Probably thought, you know what, we've got a great chance, great team, we're giving plenty of money.
Champions League dynasty.
Yeah, possibly, but Champions League's just not like that. This isn't the 1950s when Real Madrid won like 6 in a row because there was no one in it.
Who knocked them out 3 years ago? They knocked Atletico, but it was Barcelona last year, and then
Real Madrid the year before. Remember Real Madrid? They steamrolled Bayern.
Yeah.
But the year that they beat Atletico. Fun.
But I don't think it's a disappointment. I think all the fans in Germany would be stoked to have won the league that many times.
Well, their domination of Germany has been re-established. If they sign Hummels, it'll just be ongoing. Exactly. That's also not a guarantee at the moment.
He's quite annoyed about that. Some things have been said and
everything's come out.
The way that they released it on their website by saying Hummels is asked to leave, like that was the headline on their Twitter, on their website. It wasn't like he's set to leave. It's like he's asked. So I think he was booed last weekend.
Yeah.
Against Wolfsburg, and it was really surprising, but. I don't think they've underachieved. I think you've got to be fortunate in the Champions League. A little luck has to go your way.
Yep.
Xabi Alonso missing the penalty. Xabi Alonso won the penalty.
Yeah.
Muller missing the penalty. He scores, and this debate doesn't happen.
Yeah, they're probably through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, more than likely.
Atletico would have had to attack them. A team like Bayern would have capitalised that, probably scored again. It might have been a 3-1 instead of a 2-1.
Yeah.
And, I don't think there's underachievement. They're also rumoured to have paid the release clause for Miralem Pjanic from Roma.
I did read that.
Okay.
So 38 million euros is a really good price for a player like that. So that was an interesting sort of signing. I think he's very good, and I think he'll be a great signing for them.
Also fantastic that he's not going to Chelsea like we discussed in our last podcast.
Yeah, I bet Chelsea would have been a serious rival in that deal.
I don't think it can be underrated. Like, just linking this to Arsenal, because, you know, everything is about Arsenal. obviously, the discussion of Arsenal is that trying to break down teams is hard. Look at what Bayern do to teams to try and, make them break them down. They do it. It's not an easy thing what Bayern are doing.
Yeah.
By any stretch.
It seems so long ago as well since the start of the season, and when Bayern were just demolishing teams and just scoring so many goals.
Yeah.
And Lewandowski was just banging the ball on the back of the net.
No one remembers that, mate. People's memories in football are too short.
I know.
Like 6 and 7 goals.
Styles of play, nothing lasts forever. Not even through a whole season, they would have changed their style of play multiple times.
Remember when people had crowned Man City as the champions in August? And now they can't even beat Southampton. They can't get shots on target against Real Madrid. Our next topic. In the most boring Champions League semi-final arguably of all time, Real Madrid did the business and got over the top of Manchester City 1-0 in aggregate. Toni Kroos was excellent, probably played his best game of the season. Maybe chucked himself in the shop window with a departure looming this summer. And an own goal from Fernando paved the way for Madrid to set up another derby in the final against Atletico, which for me was the best matchup. I think a lot of people were hoping for the City-Atletico underdog sort of tag, being that the teams that they were playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Final, I think the neutrals were certainly rooting for that, but me personally, I was hoping for a Madrid final. I think it's just adds to the emotion of the occasion, and we hopefully get a game like Tottenham and Chelsea, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But going into the final with Atletico's form and their sort of what people are raving about at the moment, whereas Real Madrid have struggled somewhat and not been entirely convincing. Who's the favourite?
Atletico. I only say that across the 26 goals allowed in all competitions since the start of the season.
To put that in perspective, United has conceded 26 goals by Boxing Day.
That's a pretty good context considering most of our listeners are probably pretty hardcore Premier League.
Well, United have the, second or third best defence in the Premier League?
Yeah.
And they've shipped a lot of goals by comparison.
I think, and Real Madrid, but putting them side by side, they're a point apart in La Liga, I haven't checked.
Atletico and Barca are tied on points, but Barcelona's goal difference is outrageous.
Yeah.
And then Real Madrid are a point behind.
Yeah, it looks like Barcelona, given they're out of the Champions League, will probably do the business and get that title, but arguably one of the Madrid teams could do a double.
Anything's possible with the unpredictability of Barcelona in the back half of the season. And Atletico's solidarity. I mean, they're just built on great defence. Simeone has arguably revolutionised defending this season with the way that they've set up. Jimenez is really impressive for me, even though he was shocking, actually, against Bayern.
I think you retweeted the stat about Madrid's Atletico team.
Probably, I retweet a lot.
From their last Champions League final?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the turnover.
Of the 18, only 5 remain from that game day squad.
12 are gone.
Wow.
Yeah. No, 12 are gone and 5 played against Bayern.
Five played.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking, they had Courtois back then.
Yeah.
Now they've got Oblak, who was really good.
Yeah.
He's winning a lot of praise around the continent from his performances.
He's someone that they want to hold on to in the
season. Yeah. And Fernando Torres. We've got actual Fernando Torres back to an extent.
Yeah.
Available on a free transfer this summer, guys. But you'd imagine he'd probably stay where he is. If you're
interested.
Anyone's bargain shopping.
Yeah.
Although I doubt you'll get him back to England.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's pretty keen on staying in Spain.
Staying home.
Well, look, if you think about his struggles at AC Milan. As recently as,
18 months ago.
Yeah.
And
in that time, how different he is now.
Mm.
He was very bad in the first half. He only had 3 touches of the ball, I'm pretty sure. But then Simeone, which didn't get talked about too much, switched to a 4-3-3 at half time, and that's what made the difference. And he's sort of creating a discussion of whether he might be the best coach in the world at the moment.
Well, that's...
possibly.
Within his, it's hard to crown one particular coach. You can just,
I agree with you.
It's always probably up until about a year ago, it tended to be Pep versus Jose.
Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson.
Generally.
Still in a job. Working coaches. Yeah.
But, and the contrasting styles and stuff
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Ferguson
employed many styles.
Mm-hmm.
Many personnel in his quarter of a century. I don't know what his...
He's
26.
Yeah, 26 years.
Yeah, no, I guess it's horses for courses because it depends what you like, whether you like defensive solidarity that Simeone brings with counter-attacks, although everyone counter-attacks nowadays.
But also his development of young players. Three of their best young players are Atletico products.
Well, the loyalty he gets from his players as well.
Yeah.
Being a motivator as well as a tactician. Mm. Whereas... Pep is more renowned as a motivator than a tactician, being that his game plan isn't as intricate as, say, someone else's like Simeone. So, but mine's always been Ancelotti.
A little bit.
I love Ancelotti.
I'm curious.
Wins everywhere he goes.
I'm curious how his reputation as a continental master fares at Bayern, given he tends to struggle domestically.
Well, he's gunning for his 5th title now in different leagues.
Like, for all the success he had as Milan manager, he only won, I think, one title. As in one Serie A.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a good point.
And yes, he did the double at Chelsea.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's typically known as the the Champions League kind of guy. So curious if that allows for a little bit of a to close the gap. Just only if only for that factor, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Although their dominance combined with Ancelotti might make it safe.
Yeah.
You can notice by rewinding the podcast that we didn't really talk about the second semi-final at all. That's because it was so boring. And we'll get to City later, considering they also lost last weekend to Southampton. But moving on to the most important part of the Premier League segment, Leicester did it. They won the title.
They absolutely did.
They won it with two games to spare, which is a damning indictment probably of where every other team in the Premier League is at the moment.
Yep.
Including Spurs. They didn't do it off their own backs. They got a 1-1 draw with United, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea did Tottenham and solid. Yeah. And, well, Leicester did it. So there's been a lot of discussion this week, obviously. We like to talk in big ways about this sort of thing. Is it the greatest underdog story of all time? Being that it's the statistically the biggest upset of all time.
I would have to say probably is. Like, I couldn't really... At this top professional level of sport...
There's nothing like it.
There is nothing comparable to it.
We were just as a little home life throwback. Adam and I were at our parents' house for dinner. Yep. Tried to explain it to Mum, who's more into the Australian rules.
Yeah.
Try to come up with equivalent, and it's just you really can't.
No.
It's also the expectations. There was no hint that Leicester were going to do anything like this.
Yeah, exactly.
This other season,
the best you thought you would get out of them is survive again.
Their fans would have been happy with survival.
Yeah,
if you'd offered them a survival at the start of the season, they would have taken
17. Like, awesome.
You can't even compare it to the NBA or NFL because the money in those leagues are equal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whereas their budget is a drop in the ocean, well, was a drop in the ocean compared to the big clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being that it's a start without context, but City and United have spent more in the last couple of summers than Leicester have ever spent. And Kevin De Bruyne costs more than the entire Leicester squad.
Is it like their starting lineup cost $23 million or something?
Their luxury purchase in their ideal 11 is Kante, and he costs £5.6 million, and he has been considered a basement bin signing.
Yeah.
So. True.
And now he's getting tossed around at almost
twenty million mark.
Well, his release clause is €25 million.
Yeah.
If you buy into that sort of thing.
Yeah. So.
I hope it's true because I'd like a certain club up in the north to activate it.
I think there'd be a London club as well that would like to activate it.
Frenchie.
Why?
They could use some toughness in that midfield.
We've got more financial muscle, so.
They've got Champions League.
For now.
But so do Leicester. Oh, so
yes,
yeah that's
the other thing.
I really like, hope they stick it together.
Leicester fans, friends,
at least for 1 year, it'd be nice.
Friends of the podcast who are Leicester fans, they're very confident of keeping their stars. No, I think they should be.
I think they should
hang around for at least a year to see whether they can continue it. I think they can.
See what they can do in the Champions League.
See what they can do in the summer too.
Yeah.
See if they can reel anyone in.
Yeah, which we talked about last week.
Chance.
With
money.
Did you catch the United Leicester game?
I watched the first half.
What did you think? Because that was probably the best half.
Yeah, from what I've read of reports, it was the better of the halves. I enjoyed it. It was
thought we were going to win for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped when we scored, but then at the same time, I don't know. I know you probably won't agree with me, but I would have loved if they won at Old Trafford and had wrapped up the league there. I thought that would have been awesome for them.
Pretty exciting.
Awesome for Casper.
You're a pig.
You know, well, look, you know.
The former Man City
player.
All
the big dogs came out that day, you know, Peter Schmeichel and...
He is a big dog. He played for City.
Have you seen his Twitter profile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father of Casper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his sperm won a Premier League before Liverpool. So
he's seen that one.
Yeah.
That's an excellent one.
Yeah, the question is whether Caspers can win one before
More than likely.
Knock
on wood right now.
Yeah, it's just... No, I'm sorry, I don't agree. I wanted them to do it at home against Everton. next week. I wanted them to do it on their home ground.
About was the fact that the way that, well, Chelsea Tottenham match, whatever, we'll talk about that later, but the fact that that was the way they won it, like, I would have much preferred that they won it while they were playing.
They won it as opposed to...
I don't know. It sort of felt like Hazard's goal and the celebrations of the players that were all over social media, that was sort of the best way they could have done it without playing. And it almost was better because of what happened in the Chelsea-Tottenham game.
Jamie Vardy was having a party.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. You got to fight for your right to fight.
Yeah.
I would have liked, personally, just as an Arsenal fan, I would have enjoyed either the Guard of Honour or them winning at Chelsea. Like having
the, they get the Guard of Honour at Chelsea.
Do they? They still get the Guard of Honour at Everton.
They still get it.
Oh, okay. And also just celebrating at Stamford Bridge. Like all the Chelsea fans obviously had their signs and stuff, were happy that Claudio got the title, all that sort of stuff. But it all, the whole Chelsea connection is essentially Abramovich booting him.
Yeah.
He didn't think he was good enough.
Yeah.
And obviously Ranieri will never say it, but it's great that he won the title.
Well, considering he'd never won one.
Is there any more of a neutral team than Leicester?
who can hate them other than maybe a...
The only thing I hated this week was people calling Atletico the Spanish Leicester. Just spare me that.
That's completely so off the mark.
Yeah.
Atletico are such a good club now. Stronger club.
Leicester are a miracle. No, they're the English Atletico more than the Spanish. Yeah, exactly. Spanish Leicester. I mean, Atletico have been around for years. Where have people been?
It's the people that don't follow world football that say that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That have sort of jumped on the English Premier League bandwagon and then gone, oh, look what's going over in Spain. See this Atletico club?
Or people who call themselves world football watchers.
They probably didn't realise Atletico made the Champions League final just 2 years ago. So...
Yeah. That's league title winners.
Yeah, exactly. Could have done the double there.
Europa League winners multiple times.
Yeah.
Yep. They have pedigree.
Yeah, exactly.
No disrespect to Leicester.
We were speaking about the derby, so we can break it down a bit now. Obviously, it was a bit of a disaster for Spurs. They threw away another game after throwing away games against Arsenal and West Brom. And they really choked the title away. It wasn't as if Leicester won it. Tottenham actually gave it to them in the end. And it's a great story. They finished second. But I think that in the manner that they lost, it will haunt them a little. I don't think it'll make them weaker. But scars don't always heal too easily. And with all the work they put in, they might have finally started. Well, they certainly started believing with the performances they were putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you make of the derby? We did a little bit of catch up before we started watching all the tackles and the incidents so we could talk about it at length. But what did you think of the game?
Oh, wonderful. Just wonderful.
Well, I've never enjoyed a Chelsea performance more than that. I've never celebrated a Chelsea goal until I celebrated with all people, with all the criticism that I've given him. Eden Hazard's brilliant wonder goal.
Set up by the lovely Diego Costa.
Yeah.
To be 2-0 up. And
at half-time as well.
At half-time, you think you're cruising here. You've gained a point on Leicester.
Your
title hopes are still alive.
With two good fixtures coming too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you sort of throw it all away. I don't know. Mind games get into it in some respects. They lost the mind game.
Well, when they conceded the first goal, they started to struggle. They weren't even stringing passes together.
Yeah.
And they made changes, brought on Ryan Mason to sort of shore up the midfield. Didn't work.
Which is what they did against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't keep attacking, which has sort of brought them so much success.
Mason's not a very strong player in the middle, though.
He's
better than Jack Wilshere, haven't you heard?
I don't rate him.
But who's Jack Wilshere? Is that guy alive?
He's just a broken glass gif as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Apparently, maybe it's a little bit of Pochettino. Like, as wonderful as a job as he's done at Tottenham, and as an excellent manager as he is, perhaps it's just a little bit of a thing for him, because he's the one who's bringing on Mason. It's not it's as much as...
I guess it just depends who... They took off Song.
Mm-hmm.
Then who else could they have brought on? That's the only other thing on that bench.
Did they need to take him off?
Who did they have? They had Davis, Vorm, and NG, Chadley, Mason, Carroll, Wimmer. So, how many? Who
well, then else they were forced sort of, to bring Chadley on yeah. as well.
So, who else you sort of bring on though? Like,
what did you make you of make the many incidents in the game? I mean, whether it's Mark Clattenburg's refereeing or whatever it is, what did you make of what happened?
In seeing the review of before we started of some of the tackles, young Dyer or Deer should be very thankful he wasn't given a red card. I think his probably challenge was the most cynically one. Worst of the lot. Yeah,
well,
I don't know
to have done it twice as well.
The second one was probably the worst for me. The first one was bad.
Yes, the one on Hazard. Yes. Yeah,
it was definitely a yellow card. I don't think it would have been a straight red, but the second one is definitely a second yellow card. It's and you're off.
What about the third one?
Well, see, I thought he should have been off with the first one, and then I couldn't understand why he wasn't off with the second one.
Yeah, why give him a second life?
Well, the more that he didn't do anything about it, like giving yellow cards all well and good, but that wasn't bothering the players. He actually needed to send someone off and send a bit of a message.
It didn't change the aspect of the game. People were still going in way too ferociously. Well, they were just flying. Doing stupid things.
The last 15 minutes were crazy. Yeah. After the goal, Tottenham just lost their minds. Rightly so. I mean, it would have been. Yeah. I can't even imagine the feeling.
Demoralising, that's for sure.
Do you think any action should be taken? And what would it be if you think there should be?
Well, obviously the point deductions being bandied around are just farcical. That's stupid. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It would have. I don't even know what it would take to get a point deduction. I think it's pretty much administration. It's financial stuff gets that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think the main ones that they're going to probably look at are probably the eye gouge. There might not be anything in that, given there wasn't. It didn't seem to be any that real damage. A
lot of
done.
Intent on that one.
Yes,
though.
That was he wanted to, but it, he just couldn't
Intent's
do it.
Intent's a big thing with the FA as well. Yeah. Though. If you put your hands up on a player's face, you're always going to have problems, whether they see that during the game or afterwards.
The stamp on Fabregas.
Yeah.
That was probably the worst one for me. I think that should probably be a 3-game ban.
I think with the whole...
The same sort of intent of Dele Alli's punch. I think the same sort of bracket for mine.
I think the way you describe it and that, like, we've all played football. When you get something under your boot or you feel someone's foot or hand, you immediately spring up because you feel it.
You jump up. You
it's
feel
something
yourself.
Different. It doesn't feel right. It's not a flat
Well, you're
surface.
Not stepping evenly. And
yeah. And
you notice.
He was too obviously acting aloof. And
far too casual.
Yeah.
Obviously, Diaz tackles on Hazard and Cesc. Surely something will be...
Well, being that the referee saw them, I don't expect much to come of that. Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
But being that that's FA policy.
He already decided on that during the game.
He can go back and...
But
I think the second one... The second one that got called play on...
That... I can't believe they called play on that one. I have to agree. That was disgusting.
Mason on Hazard, just bad tackle in the game. I don't think that's going to get reviewed.
Yeah.
I think we're more looking at what happened after the game.
I don't think... Yeah.
Fines.
I'm expecting Danny Rose to get quite a severe... punishment for laying hands on a manager, even if it's unintentional, it doesn't actually matter. It's like touching a ref. I think it's the same sort of context. It's an ugly look.
No,
and that's
all
what it's
I thought
about.
All I thought of it was he was trying to push through to get to Costa.
Something
with obviously some sort of intent. I personally thought it was accidental because he obviously was going for Diego Costa, and he was trying to force his way through, but. The other thing is, if we're going to say we're going to give him a fine for touching a manager, why not give him a fine for any other staff member that's there? Because how are they not any less important than anyone that works for that club on that touchline? You're sort of putting him up here. All right, he's a manager. You know, I understand that he's got a big job, but all the other guys there have a job to do as well. So
I'm just hoping to see a bit of light shed on what actually started it, what happened. And I don't know if you guys read some reports, but one side there's been reports that Fabregas started it on one side. There's reports Lamella started on the other. Just kind of...
I don't know. I don't think it really matters who started it. It was just stupid. It was a really poor end to
a great season for Tottenham.
Yeah. Well, really, you know, it was a fantastic year for Tottenham and Tottenham fans, and unfortunately they couldn't get it done. They fluffed it near the end. They dropped a couple of games that they shouldn't have.
It looks like they've still got dropped second some points. Though.
Yeah, probably should do. But that all depends on next week as well, and whether any bans come through this week, late this week.
The winner of the Chelsea Tottenham game, or besides Leicester, might be Newcastle if there's heavy bans.
Made
it out.
That's true.
And also, we're not sure. I do think they've got second locked up, but I'm curious how it affects the next two games.
Well, yeah. do they rest players, or you'd think they look just you'd think they look to secure second.
Yeah.
I would expect them to play pretty much full strength. Southampton.
Yeah, you think that
Southampton at home. I'd expect them to win that all. Southampton have won the third most points of any team since the turn of the year, so you never know. And they did knock off City last weekend. Down the bottom of the table, Rafa Benitez might have turned Newcastle's season around, and they won again, which means that they are now 17th. Now, Sunderland and Norwich do have a game in hand. Norwich's game is against Manchester United. I'm not sure who Sunderland's is against. But would you consider, even though they don't have the game in hand, would you consider Newcastle to be in the driving seat now? Or is it pretty much a coin flip amongst those teams?
I wouldn't be quite comfortable saying that Newcastle are in the driver's seat. They are in a far more comfortable position now, falling out of the relegation zone. But I feel that Newcastle may get dragged straight back in. I feel like Sunderland have got maybe a little bit as much momentum as Newcastle, if not a bit more.
Mm-hmm. It's faded a little bit for them in the last couple of weeks.
True.
Very true. Let's not forget that Newcastle do play Aston Villa this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Away, and then obviously Tottenham on the last day. Which will be interesting because if Tottenham have second place secured, for example, say that they win this weekend while Arsenal lose to City or draw with City, they have second place.
Various permutations.
Yeah. Sewn up.
Mm-hmm.
Tottenham might play quite a reduced side.
I think so.
On the last day, whilst Norwich still have to play Manchester United at home, Watford at home, which is a winnable game. Both are winnable. Any game is winnable. And then they'll play Everton at Goodison Park. On the last day.
Those games could go any way, really.
But Sunderland do have it tough. They have Chelsea this weekend at home.
Mm-hmm.
Everton at home. But Everton have been great away from home this season.
They really have.
And then they play Watford at Vicarage Road on the last day. So I would say they have the hardest run.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Agreed.
So for me, I'd probably put...
I'd pencil Norwich in.
Yeah, I would go Newcastle, Norwich, Sunderland.
Yep, that seems fair to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can agree with that one. Good turnaround. Well, if Newcastle, the pivotal game for Norwich
is Watford.
Yes.
Yep. They need to beat Watford. And in fact, Sunderland also need to beat Watford. So Watford can either ruin or help their seasons out big time.
The most decisive thing for Newcastle might be Watford.
Well, so you're taking Norwich.
What? This is tough.
Mm.
And Watford manager Flores is trying to save his job, so whether a decision is made before the end of the season as well, that
they narrowly beat Aston Villa on the weekend. They were 2-1 down, and
fucking picked Aston Villa last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh shit! Tips. I forgot about that.
So, and I was stoked when I saw they were winning, and then but oh well.
I had an okay.
That's round. What I expected.
I had an okay round.
Yeah.
Surviving. And who do you have, Troy?
What's that, sir?
Who do you have in the relegation race?
I want to say Newcastle, but I feel like with the game in hand, I think Sunderland might just squeak it. Far more comfortable in the relegation zone, Big Sam. But I really love Benitez at Newcastle. I wish it had come sooner.
It would have been nice.
With a heavy heart, I say Sunderland.
No, we're all going different. That'll be interesting. That will be interesting.
Yeah, oh.
And every time I back Newcastle...
It's so hard to pick. I don't know. It's just Norwich have been pretty bad the last 10 weeks of the season as well. So you don't know whether they can get a late rally on.
Now, I just wanted to come back to City with their season's sort of spiraling now that they're finally out of the Champions League, and they've arguably had a bad Premier League campaign. I don't think too many people would argue with that. Is there any chance they drop out of the top four and United overtake them?
I think there is certainly a chance. They may have a bit of a hangover. They could get, their next game could go one of two ways. They can either have the Champions League kind of hangover, like, oh shit, we had a great chance and we blew it, or they could have like a lashing out and, you know,
weight off their back.
Yeah, you know, belting whoever's in their path. So, however, there is you came up with a pretty good stat with it from Aguero's, no shots on target.
In the last five Champions League fixtures, he has not registered one shot on target. And that would probably explain why they've only had 8 shots on target in their last 6 Champions League games. So, not a very...
pretty picture.
Yeah, no, but again, it was very hard at the Bernabeu. Real Madrid did not concede all season long in the Champions League at home.
Very impressive. That's better than Atletico.
If you had to pick it today, what's your top four finishing as? Before we jump into the predictions.
Without knowing how City and Tottenham react to their various failures. Leicester, Tottenham, Arsenal.
Are you sure you're going to pick Leicester?
And begrudgingly City.
Barry?
I think I'm going to say it's... Actually, shit. No, I'm going to say Leicester, Tottenham, City, then Arsenal. I think I wouldn't be surprised if
City... Are you going to City this weekend?
City after a disappointing week.
I'm going to come out.
Well, yeah, I think get out some frustration.
Well, let's not forget that the only team in the top eight that City have beaten is Southampton at home. They have not beaten any other team currently up in the top eight. So,
wow.
For that reason, I am going Leicester, Tottenham, Arsenal, United. I believe we can do it.
We already had one miracle this year, and that was Leicester.
However, Arsenal's record against City is pretty fucking terrific the last 2 years.
Yeah, it has been.
I'm going to go with City because I don't think United can beat West Ham at the bowling ground.
I don't think we can even beat Norwich at Norwich, to be blatantly honest, because Norwich are trying to survive. So
fight for their lives.
Unfortunately. Right. But
let's do our Premier League predictions before we go in what is a very long round with catch-up games included. So the early game that you just spoke about is Norwich and Manchester United at Carrow Road.
Draw.
Score draw, 1-1.
United in a boring, boring game.
Yeah.
Sunderland and Chelsea at the Stadium of Light.
Sunderland.
Chelsea. Aston Villa and Newcastle.
Aston Villa to score first, but Newcastle win 2-1.
Draw.
Newcastle.
It's to be classic Newcastle to draw with Villa and then like beat Tottenham.
Yeah.
And then like lose out on goal difference.
Crystal Palace and Stoke.
Game that just does not matter. I'm gonna say
Stoke. I'm gonna go for a draw.
Yeah, I'm gonna say score draw. Yannick Bolasie, my man.
West Ham and Swansea at the Bowling Ground.
Whammers.
Hammers, yeah.
Payet with a banger. Or something.
Yeah, I've got West Ham in straight sets. Bournemouth and West Brom at Gold Sands Stadium, a.k.a. Dean Court.
Neither team to have a shot on target. I'm going to say a draw. It's going to be a bore.
I'm going to go West Brom. Bournemouth. Leicester City and Everton at the King Power Party.
Leicester.
Leicester with the
away number. Everton away.
They're big party spoilers.
I'm ready for Everton to have a nice late season slide and lose their last 3 games and probably drop down to nearly 13th, 14th.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Leicester in a really great game.
Yeah.
Then we have the final. We move to Sunday's games.
Yeah.
With Tottenham and Southampton at White Hart Lane.
Interesting.
Draw.
I'm going for a draw.
Yeah, I will go for a draw as well there.
Man City and Arsenal at the Etihad.
think I already sort of gave my prediction before in Man City. I think it'll be
2-1,
you know,
lime.
I think, unfortunately, draw. Arsenal's struggling a little bit, but playing on the back foot might play into our hands, you know.
Yeah.
Provided we give up, we perhaps maybe give Giroud a break and.
Arsenal. I'm going for Arsenal.
Danny Welbeck, United boy.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
United boy with trying to help his old club.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
And his new club.
Liverpool and Watford at Anfield.
I'm gonna Liverpool should win. I think they'll. I think Liverpool will win.
Yeah, I'll go Liverpool.
Liverpool
yeah.
with the caveat that they actually play a Premier League team.
Yeah,
but I'm going to tip now that they're going to lose to Villarreal in the morning.
I'm going to say
Villarreal rested lots of players and they still won on the weekend. They're going to win. People don't rate them because people don't watch Villarreal. But Villarreal
I'll tell you what, that fucking dirty. Who's the dirty prick that used to play for Tottenham? The striker that
Soldado.
That motherfucker was. I watched that game.
I heard about his 2-footed challenge.
He was disgusting. He had 2 2-footed challenges and another completely just 1-foot studs up. It was disgusting. Referee did not do a fucking thing about it.
Barry, did you not watch Tottenham's game? He's just stuck in that Tottenham mindset, right? No, but he still fits right in there.
I think Liverpool will win. It'll go to extra time penalties in that.
I think as brilliant a run as they are on the Europa League, I think Villarreal might be a bit too streetwise.
Yeah.
A bit too clever.
I'm going for an all-Spanish final.
They'll buff clever and just keep it at arm's length.
Yes, Soldado will just break legs all game.
Oh, the Europa League is a Spanish tournament. And midweek, we have 4 catch-up games, starting with West Ham and Manchester United at the Bowling Ground.
Wanners.
2-2.
Draw.
Yeah, I'm going for a draw. 1-1.
Will this be another one of Barry's classic tips?
Let's hope not. Sunderland and Everton at the Stadium of Light.
Sunderland 1-0.
Draw.
Norwich and Watford at Carrow Road.
Norwich.
Draw. Liverpool and Chelsea in the final game of the round at Anfield.
Chelsea.
Liverpool.
I'm going for triple draw day. So another draw for me. I might put some money on that, actually.
It's not bad. Huh?
Thank me later, podcast listeners. And on that note, on that thank you, we will call it quits for today. We'll be back with the NBA podcast very soon. And we'll be back next week with more Leicester praise and whatever the week brings. Thanks to Byron and Troy for joining me. Thanks to Last Word on Sports for hosting the podcast. Thank you to iTunes, all our listeners, and you can hit us up on our Twitter accounts, Loaded Cues Podcast, Troy Joseph 8, Ryan S. Barr, Adam Joseph Sport, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Party with the players. Watch this. I apologise to any language if it does come. Like to be a Premier League winner. Scott, that's going to be some celebration for those boys.
I'd like to be there now. You'd like to be part of that, to be honest with you. I'm sure that'll go long into the night and fully deserve the night of say, to be honest with you.
Richly deserved, Jeremy.
Of course, they've been the best team. And their memories that... those players, as a group of players now, maybe play together for the next 4 or 5 years. They could walk down a street in 20, 30 years' time, and all you do is look at each other and you know. It's that moment together when you won that title, and that's what they'll always remember together. Yeah, they'll carry on playing for the next whatever, but they'll always be remembered for this. And as I said, when they see each other 20, 30 years' time, they'll have reunion parties for this, and like you saw, it'll just be a look, and they know.
And this says it all about them as well. You see Wes Morgan right in the middle of it there. He will be lifting the trophy on Saturday evening, which we will see. That will be some moment. But look at this. This says everything about Leicester, doesn't it? The unit, the closeness of this team.
No, it does, and that's what it's being built on. The same team week in, week out. We've said before, no one was born on the red carpet, so they've had to play as a team. They've had some outstanding individuals within that. But very few players get the chance in the career to have moments like that. Luke's, I felt
now
that.
Now he is a character.
Threw the tongue at me then. But no, I mean, these moments for players, some players never get them. A lot of the top players obviously get them year in, year out. But for these players, they'd never dream they'd have a moment in their careers. And listen, I don't think they'll ever have a moment to match this. It's unprecedented.
Jamie Vardy on the left there.
Yeah, Vardy party. But listen, Jamie Vardy, Mahrez, Kante, the stand, I've just seen drink water there. There's not one player you look at now on camera and don't think he was outstanding this season.
It says it all about them, doesn't it, Scott? That is one unit.
Yeah, and like Jamie said, these pictures are exactly what they've represented and what they've been like all year, to be fair. A team, a solid team, and that's why they are where they are.
You don't mind a selfie now, do you?
You've been dueling that one. Just imagine what the King Power is going to be like on Saturday.
Oh, it's going to be bouncing, isn't it? I mean, people always say you'd like to sort of maybe win it yourself, but I can assure you, they've been desperate for Tottenham to do that tonight, or drop points, so it's done. It's in the bag, and we can have a huge party. Well, listen, they're going to have a huge party tonight.
Congratulations, Leicester. Congratulations, Claudio.
You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.